this session we shall examine how to calculate the exit charge when discretionary trustees distribute capital assets to a beneficiary. Before we do so, let's recap on a few general principles with regard to discretionary trusts. In a discretionary trust arrangement, trustees have absolute discretion as to how to distribute the income and capital of the trust and have a power to accumulate income within the trust. If trustees have a power to accumulate income, no individual beneficiary has an entitlement to income, so no interest in possession exists. In certain circumstances, if a beneficiary has an interest in possession in a trust, the trust assets will be treated as part of the beneficiary's estate. This will not be the case if an individual is a beneficiary of a discretionary trust. If a beneficiary of a discretionary trust dies, no part of the discretionary trust falls within the death estate. We will deal with interest in possession trusts in a later session. Assets held in a discretionary trust will form part of the deceased's death estate only if the deceased was both the settlor and a beneficiary of the trust. If an individual sets up a discretionary trust from which he or she can benefit, this is a gift with reservation of benefit. In this situation, the assets of the trust would form part of the death estate for IHT purposes. This is an exception to the rule, and assets in a discretionary trust are not usually charged to IHT in the hands of a beneficiary. Because under normal circumstances, the revenue cannot levy an IHT charge on a beneficiary of a discretionary trust, any such charges will arise on the trustees instead. The two inheritance tax charges we shall look at over the next couple of sessions are the exit charge and the principal charge. In the next session, we shall look at the principal charge, otherwise known as the 10-year charge. On each 10th anniversary from the creation of the trust, the revenue will levy a one-off inheritance tax charge on the trustees. This is regarded by most trustees as a penalty for having such wide discretionary powers. The principal charge is a percentage of the value of the trust on each 10-year anniversary. Principal charges will arise on the 10th, 20th, 30th birthday, etc. of the trust. As we shall see in the next session, only 30% of the value of the trust is charged to inheritance tax, this equating to a full IHT charge every 33 years. One way to avoid a principal charge is for the trustees to distribute all of the trust assets to one or more of the beneficiaries prior to the 10th anniversary. However, when trustees make a capital distribution to a beneficiary such that the value of the trust property goes down, an exit charge will arise. The exit charge is a percentage of the value of the property leaving the trust. In this session, we shall concentrate on how to calculate IHT on capital distributions from discretionary trusts. The rules with regard to exit and principal charges changed with effect from the 26th of March 1974, when capital transfer tax was introduced. Here we will concentrate on trusts set up since 1974, otherwise known as new trusts, and will not concern ourselves with the old rules. Before we move on to the computations, it's worth first defining some useful terms. Assume on the 1st of July 2011, a donor, we shall call him Mr. Settlor, set up a discretionary trust for his family. The property settled was £1 million in cash. On the same day, that is the 1st of July 2011, Mr. Settlor also set up an interest in possession trust for the son with £500,000 in cash. It's important to establish the date of commencement for IHT purposes, as this date will determine the date for future principal charges. Here, the date of commencement is the 1st of July 2011. Exit and principal charges are only levied on relevant property. Relevant property is property in which no qualifying interest in possession subsists. We will look at qualifying interests in possession in a later session. Broadly speaking, a qualifying interest in possession is one which arose before the 22nd of March 2006, although there are some exceptions to this rule. Therefore, post-2006 interest in possession trusts can also be relevant property trusts and will fall within the exit and principal charge regime. Assets held on accumulation and maintenance trust are not relevant property if the trust was set up before the 22nd of March 2006. A&M trusts are similar in nature to discretionary trusts, but they have certain IHT advantages, such as being outside the scope of the exit and principal charge legislation. These rules have changed with effect from the 22nd of March 2006, as we shall discuss later. For the time being, we shall assume that relevant property means property held in a discretionary trust. If two trusts are set up on the same day by the same settlor, those trusts are called related settlements. In this example, Mr. Settlor set up a discretionary trust and an interest in possession trust on the 1st of July 2011, so he has set up two related trusts. A related trust does not include a charitable trust set up on the same day by the same settlor. It also does not include a settlement in which the settlor's spouse has an immediate post-death interest. The effect of a related trust is to increase the inheritance tax payable on the occasion of an exit or a principal charge. Therefore, a settlor should avoid setting up two trusts on the same day wherever practically possible. In practice, you're most likely to come across related trusts where two different trusts are set up by a testator in his will. An exit charge will arise when a property in a trust ceases to be relevant property. This will most commonly apply when a discretionary trust distributes either cash or capital assets to a beneficiary. Again, as there has been a reduction in the value of relevant property within the trust, an exit charge will arise. There are certain instances when there is no exit charge for IHT purposes. No exit charge will be levied where income is distributed by the trustees to a beneficiary. If a beneficiary receives a distribution of income, the beneficiary will suffer income tax rather than inheritance tax. If the value of relevant property is reduced because certain costs or expenses are met by the trustees, this does not give rise to an exit charge. No exit charge is levied on a transfer of excluded property. If you remember back to your sessions on domicile, if a non-UK domiciled individual sets up a trust, the trust is also treated as not UK domiciled. The domicile status of the trust follows that of the settlor. If the non-domicile trust holds foreign assets, those assets are excluded property, and transfers of such assets will not give rise to a UK IHT charge. Note that it is possible for trustees of offshore trusts to have an IHT exit charge on a distribution to a beneficiary, either if the settlor was UK domiciled or if the assets are situated in the UK. If a testator creates a discretionary trust in his will, under section 144, any distributions from the trust within 2 years of death do not give rise to an IHT exit charge. We covered this in the session on deeds of variation in the IHT part of your course. There are two elements to the calculation of the exit charge. The first element is to ascertain the reduction in the amount of the relevant property as a result of the transfer. This is the loss to trust principle, that is, the amount by which the value of the assets in the trust falls as a result of the distribution. If the distribution is one of cash, the loss to trust is simply the value of the cash transferred. Having arrived at the reduction in the relevant property, we multiply this by something called the actual rate of tax. The computation of the actual rate of tax is quite complex, and we shall examine how to do it on the next page. To calculate the actual rate of tax, we look at the IHT history of the settlor. The actual rate of tax is affected by the settlor's cumulative chargeable transfers in the 7 years before the creation of the trust, and by any other trusts set up by the settlor on the same day, i.e. by any related trusts. These two variables will need to be factored into our computation. To calculate an actual rate, we must first arrive at an effective rate. Having arrived at the effective rate, we multiply this by 30%. Finally, we multiply by the fraction n over 40, where n is the number of complete quarters that have elapsed between the creation of the trust and the date of the exit charge. A quarter in this instance means a completed 3-month calendar period. As we are calculating exits before the first principal charge, the maximum amount of completed quarters between the creation of the trust and the exit is 39. Therefore, the actual rate of tax will increase as we move closer to the next 10-year anniversary. Therefore, before we can calculate the actual rate, we must first calculate the effective rate. The effective rate is a notional rate of tax which would be charged on the settlor at the date of the exit charge, assuming the settlor had made a notional transfer of value. That notional transfer is equal to the initial value of this discretionary trust plus the initial value of a related trust. In essence, we are pretending that the settlor made a transfer of value, and on that pretend transfer, he paid some notional IHT. What we need to do is to calculate the effective rate of tax that applies to that notional IHT. At first sight, these exit charge rules can appear quite intimidating. However, once you have seen how the pro forma works and attempted a few practice questions, you will see that the calculation is not as daunting as you might think.
Graham set up a discretionary trust on the 5th of September 2003. Graham settled cash of £500,000 on the trust. He had made no lifetime transfers. On the same day, Graham settled £120,000 in cash onto an accumulation and maintenance trust for his nieces and nephews. On the 12th of October 2010, the trustees of the discretionary trust appointed £80,000 in cash to a beneficiary. The cash in the discretionary trust is relevant property. As there has been a reduction in the value of this relevant property in October 2010, an exit charge will arise. The first thing to do in any exit charge computation is to calculate the initial value of the discretionary trust.
The initial value of the trust is the value of the trust assets immediately after the trust was created. As Graham set up the trust with £500,000 in cash, the initial value is £500,000. To this we add the initial value of a related trust.
The initial value of the accumulation and maintenance trust is £120,000. The next step is to calculate notional inheritance tax, assuming that the settlor, Graham, has made a transfer of value of £620,000 in October 2010. As the exit took place in October 2010, Graham's available nil band is £325,000.
The available nil band is affected by any lifetime transfers made by Graham. In this instance, there are none, so the nil band is fully available. Note, however, that when working out the available nil band in this instance, we'll take the settlor's transfers in the 7 years prior to the creation of the discretionary trust.
Therefore, we would not look back 7 years from the date of the exit in 2010. Instead, we would look back 7 years from September 2003.
As Graham had made no lifetime transfers, the taxable amount is £295,000. On this pretend transfer, notional inheritance tax at a rate of 20% would be payable, giving IHT of £59,000. Note that this is only notional tax, and this figure has been calculated purely for the purpose of computing an effective rate. This tax will never be paid. Having arrived at the notional tax, we can move on and calculate the effective rate. The effective rate is the notional tax expressed as a percentage of the notional transfer. The notional tax is £59,000. We take the tax and express this as a fraction of the transfer of £620,000. The effective rate here is 9.516%.
Note, there is no formal requirement to round any decimal fraction to three places, although for convenience sake, this is acceptable. The maximum possible effective rate can never exceed 20%. An effective rate of 20% will apply if the whole of the nil band has been extinguished by chargeable transfers in the 7 years before the creation of the trust. This calculation of the effective rate of tax can be quite a complex exercise, so at this point we will pause the module and allow you to reflect on page 6. Once you're ready to carry on, click the continue button on the bottom of the page.
Continuing the example of Graham, he set up a discretionary trust in September 2003, and we are calculating the tax on the exit on the 12th of October 2010.
Having found the effective rate, We must now turn this into an actual rate. The actual rate is the effective rate multiplied by 30%. We then multiply this by the fraction n over 40, where n is the number of quarters that have elapsed between the date of creation and the date of the exit charge.
We now count the completed quarters between the 5th of September 2003 and the 12th of October 2010.
Between these two dates, there are 7 years and around 1 month. This is 28 completed quarters. Note, we are only interested in completed quarters, so any partial quarters are ignored. The actual rate is therefore 9.516% multiplied by 30% multiplied by 28 over 40, giving 1.998%. The IHT payable on the exit is the reduction in the value of the trust multiplied by the actual rate. The trustees distributed £80,000 to a beneficiary. When multiplied by 1.998%, this gives an exit charge of £1,598. The due date for payment of the tax is the same as the due date for normal chargeable lifetime transfers. In this instance, it's either 6 months from the end of the month of the gift, or the 30th of April in the following tax year, whichever is later.
In this instance, the due date is the 30th of April 2011.
The amount of inheritance tax payable on an exit is largely dependent on the initial value of the trust. The initial value of the trust is the value of all assets comprised in the trust immediately after the settlement. This initial value will be reduced if inheritance tax on the chargeable lifetime transfer is payable by the trustees. In the previous example, Graham gave £500,000 in cash to a discretionary trust, and we assumed that the initial value of the trust was £500,000. The initial value would have been £500,000 if Graham had paid the tax on the chargeable lifetime transfer. If Graham had asked the trustees to pay the tax, we would have had to calculate the IHT due and deduct this from the £500,000 to arrive at the initial value. Therefore, for the purposes of calculating this initial value, a calculation of the lifetime inheritance tax is only necessary if the tax is to be borne by the trustees. When calculating the initial value of the trust, we ignore business or agricultural property relief. BPR or APR may well affect the tax payable on the chargeable lifetime transfer, but it does not alter the trustee's initial value. Therefore, in the previous illustration, if Graham had transferred £500,000 worth of shares in an unquoted trading company to the discretionary trust, no IHT would have been payable as the transfer would have been wholly covered by BPR. However, for the purposes of calculating the exit charge, the initial value of the trust would be £500,000. Remember, the initial value of the trust is the value of the assets in the trust immediately after the creation. Whether those assets are business or agricultural property is irrelevant. When calculating lifetime IHT on gifts to a discretionary trust, we work out the loss to the donor's estate as a result of the transfer. We also need to take account of related property, that is, similar assets held by one spouse. These concepts are irrelevant for calculating the initial value. The initial value is the value of the assets within the trust, valued on a standalone or isolated basis. The value transferred by the donor for IHT purposes may well therefore be different to the initial value of the trust for exit charge purposes. Finally, we must decide who will pay the tax on the exit charge. If the tax on the exit is to be borne by the beneficiary, to calculate the exit charge we use the actual rate. This is what we did in the previous example. We took the property which was leaving the trust, i.e. £80,000, and multiplied it by the actual rate of 1.998%. However, if the trustees agree to pay the tax on the exit, in order to work out the exit charge, we must first gross up the actual rate. We gross up in order to recognise that if the trustees pay the tax on the exit, the loss to the trust as a result of the distribution is not just the distribution. It is also the inheritance tax payable by the trustees. We can liken this to the way that we calculate IHT on a chargeable lifetime transfer if the donor pays the tax. In this instance, we do not simply use the lifetime rate of 20%. Instead, we gross this up and use a grossed up rate of 20 over 80. Primary responsibility for paying the tax on an exit rests with the trustees, although they can delegate this responsibility to the beneficiary if they want to.